two texts for our consideration as we look at this topic about conflicts in the family. As I pondered and consider the family, there are two Bible texts that pertains to the role of husband and wife, and that between the parent and the children, that stands out. And one of them is found in Ephesians 5:33. During our first family day, we spent time speaking about the husband and wife relationship from Ephesians 5:22-33. But there is one point that is cited here that we want us to look at. Okay, shall we read together Ephesians 5:33? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Okay, so this is the text that I bring before you, where, you know, if husband and wife would do this, then many of the conflicts in the home would have been resolved. And the second text is this, in Ephesians 6:4. Let's read together. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word provoke there means to rouse, to wrath, to exasperate, to anger. And the way the text has been written by the Apostle Paul, during the Roman times, fathers in the family often are very angry people. And when they, you know, are angry, well, there is mayhem in the home. And so here, the admonition is given to the father to control your temper. Right? Provoke not your children to wrath. He must have his own anger or his own emotions, his own himself under subjection and control in the interaction with the children. What are the sources of conflict in the home? Well, as you think, you see that behaviors that inconvenience and irritate oftentimes can be a source of conflict in the home. Different personal habits. We said that men and a woman come together as one flesh, yet they are two individuals, and they all have their different, we all have our different habits, different, even different things that would irritate us. And you find that in that family relationship, there is so much a need to exercise love and patience one toward another. Right? Behaviors that indicate basic value differences. Example, the use of money, right, in a family, in the home, how would you arrange your bank accounts? Before we were married, we had someone who spoke to us, and he said that, well, there is no hard and fast rule. He says that for him, he had his own, he had his account together with his wife. They have a separate account on their own so that they could buy some gifts for their spouses, their family. But for us, when we discussed, we said that we would have one account. And so when we got married, we put everything together, one account. We don't have our separate accounts. Right? So whatever we have is whatever is there. So we felt that that is involves the husband and wife having to discuss and think through and sort through financial matters. Right? Financial matters can be a source of conflict in the home. Right? What to do, how to invest, what, and ultimately you'll find that a decision would have to be taken and husband and wife would have to go through that process of deliberation, that process of thinking, and you know, decisions has to be taken. And therefore you would have to think, right, how to reach an agreement, a loving consensus, right, in the family. Frustration and tension can come from other sources, right? From work, from colleagues, from children. You know, the husband can be coming home after a long, long day's work, very frustrated. And coming home, you know, when he reached home, he just want to have a space, a time to be quiet. You know, he doesn't want to be disturbed. He needs that half an hour whereby he can calm down, you know, and reorientate himself to be able to find himself in a quiet sanctuary of the home. And oftentimes there can be demands that comes in the home, right? When, especially with young families, needs of children, and so you find that there is that need to handle, right, frustrations and tensions that come and build up in the home. Concern for each other, health matter, the food we take, especially the older folks, right, you'll find that health can be a concern, and the care for the other person can be a grave concern, right? Constant attention, constant need, especially if one falls sick, and you know, there are some sicknesses that comes that requires the family to be mobilized, and it can drain the family during those times. Expectations, right? Different expectations, so we would lay that expectations upon our the people around us and said, this is what is needful. And the other person would say, no, this is not what it is. Problems of finance. Right? Now I zoom in and go in a little bit more. There are times when we value money more than relations in the home. This often happens. What to spend, how to spend. Spend more, spend less. And oftentimes we are in our various stages of spiritual growth. Right? And so the Lord wants us to be able to realize, right, that the finances or the resources that God gives to us is to be used for the well-being of the family. Right? And who else do we spend on? We spend you know, on our spouses, we spend on our children. Right? An agreement to spend within our means. Right? If you are taking loans, make sure that it is serviceable debt. Right? Many conflicts in the home come, right, because of expectations of large investments that comes, you know, whether it's the purchase of a house, purchase of a car. Well, we see that all this potentially can be a source of conflict. And then, you know, whether you have one party working, the other party not working, you know, how would that finances be in the family? Well, these are areas in which conflict can arise. Right? And attitude, right, to be careful in investment and speculation. Right? You see, nowadays, it's difficult to differentiate between investment and speculation, right? Because of the value of money going down. You hold the money in the bank, you said that it's not going to be worth it, and therefore, you know, you need to do something with it, and oftentimes doing something, some investment, oftentimes brings with it risk, and oftentimes financial decisions that are taken need to be prayed through carefully, weighed carefully, that it may not become a great burden to the family. We have known of situations, right, whereby families, you know, have committed themselves to loans, and suddenly one person is out of job, and then, you know, unable to meet the commitment to meet the financing, and then they are in trouble. Right? You pay the loan. Every month you have to pay the loan. If you default the loan, you have to pay a lump sum. Right? So both ways difficult, and family can be plunged into a turmoil. Problem of in-law. You find that it's important to live peaceably, to be able to cultivate a good relationship and trust, right, amongst members in the home, right, between husband and wife, with their parents, that is an important or that is an area, a potential area of conflict in a family. And you realize that oftentimes, well, when a family is, a new family is formed, right, the head of the family now has to make certain decisions, right? And you know, it is said in an analogy that if you are on an airplane and that you have only one parachute, and you have your mother-in-law and your wife, right, who will you give the parachute to? Right. So there was this question that was asked. Who will you give your parachute to? You give to your mother-in-law or mother, or you give to your wife? Hard question, right? Well, as I was thinking about it, you know, hardly, you know, you will be asked to make such decisions. Hardly you will be asked to, you know, choose like that. And even if the person is to choose, he may take the parachute himself and he will jump, you know, for himself. But I would say that whether he gives his mother or mother-in-law or whether he gives his wife is immaterial. You know, if he's willing to give someone, you know, his parachute, because he's going to perish, right, in that split second before a disaster would come. Right, if he's willing to give, right, that's it. You know, I would say that he would have been very sacrificial. Right. And you realize that oftentimes, if a conflict does arise, then I think the priority is to the spouse. I think of the interest of the spouse, and this is the biblical pattern, right? And but here we are saying that there is more to it than just a decision to say, I choose this and not this. I pick this up and I throw this down. No, it's not like that. Right? Oftentimes, in a relationship situation, there is a possibility to come with a solution, an amicable solution, a peaceable solution. It's for us to pray. Right? God gives to us the wisdom to be able to have peace. And you would realize that when we are sanctified with the Spirit of God, right, the Lord would cause us to be able to think of the other party rather than ourselves. Okay. The reason why many conflicts arises is because we think about ourselves, what we want and what we don't get. Right? But if we were to exercise biblical love, right, that is being described in our text in Ephesians 5:33, then you'll find that if the husband would love the wife, then he would consider the needs of the wife. His decisions, the things that he do, right, will be for the interest of the wife, not for himself. And would there be conflict? There would not be conflict. Right? So the Lord wants us to just go back to the biblical principles. Right? Fathers with their children, you just have to be able to teach them, right, according to what the Lord would want you to do. Nurture them. The word nurture has the meaning of gentleness. It has the meaning of patience. It has the meaning of love. Okay? So the Lord wants us to do that. Right? It involves spending time. What are the problems that you would face between children with parents? Oftentimes, if there's more than one child in the home, favoritism is natural, right, but not correct. And oftentimes we fall into it easily. We were studying in our Bible study in Genesis, how Jacob made a coat of many colors for Joseph, right? And how all the brothers hated Joseph because the father favored him. And that envy was so great, right, that it turned into hatred and it turned into wrath and it caused them, right, to just to the point where they wanted to kill the young brother. favoritism. And so the Lord wants us to see, right, how we ought to be fair in our treatment of children. And our priority today is often to make our children supermen or superwomen. You know, we put them in all sorts of courses and, you know, we want them to be the best, right? So, you know, it's day and night, grilling. But is that God's purpose, that they would be supermen and superwomen? Well, we have to think again concerning what is it that we want for them in their lives. Right? Is it to make a mark in this world, make a living in this world, a good living in this world? You want them to make a good living in this world? Nothing wrong with that, right? But it must come with it, superman and superwoman, right? With a, you know, a godliness in them, right? With a godliness in them. And so, parents who want children to fulfill their unfulfilled aspirations, and so oftentimes they would drive them. And we have seen situations whereby children go through, right, go through a life, and they follow, but finally they rebel. Right? Finally they rebel. If this is what you want, I'll do it. But now that you have achieved it, can I move on? The between them problems, right? Between husband and wife, right? Extramarital temptation. This is one of the area that, you know, causes much grief in families, right? Extramarital temptation, where fidelity between husband and wife is compromised. This is one area that is potentially a source of conflict, right, in the home. Then we said health. Prolonged disease can be a big burden. No care between husband and wife. They live for themselves only. That is another thought below. Husband and wives are living in the home, but, you know, there's no mutual, there's not that nurturing of the other person, you know, growing, prospering. And so there's a need to look at the between them problem that, you know, can be a source of conflict. And oftentimes, if we don't address them, we don't take heed to the biblical principles, right? We don't love our wives, and wives don't reverence the husband, then there would not be peace in the home. So, what are the marriage communication guidelines that we can have? Be a ready listener. Do not answer until the other finished talking. And oftentimes, we like to interrupt each other to the annoyance, right, of the people around us. Be slow to speak. Think first. Do not be hasty in your words. Oftentimes we are very hasty in our speech, right? And we speak very fast, and we offend very fast also. Okay. speak the truth always, but do it in love. Right? There is that honesty in that relationship. And that's very important. There's no hiding, right, between the husband and the wife. There is that transparency. Do not use silence to frustrate the other person. Explain why you are hesitant to talk at this time. Sometimes we don't want to talk. And, you know, we would keep ourselves away. Don't talk. Don't want to talk. But that's not good. It's a potential source of conflict within the family. You cause the other person to be hanging there, not knowing what to do. Do not become involved in quarrels. It is possible to disagree without quarreling. When you are involved in a heated argument, okay, that's where you can't communicate amicably, right? You can't communicate in a constructive way. Do not respond in anger. Use a soft and kind response. And that comes with the cultivation of our own spiritual life. Right? How to become. How in the inner man. It takes cultivation. It takes time to examine our own lives and see the motions of sin in our own lives and to pray for curtailing. You know, that God would, by His Spirit, cause us to be able to stop. Right? When you are wrong, admit it and ask for forgiveness. Right? In a family, there is always a need, right, to make up. Right? When you are wrong, just admit you are wrong. Okay? And ask for forgiveness. Okay? And when you have someone confessing to you, tell them you forgive them. That willingness to forgive makes for a good relationship in the home. Be sure that it is forgotten and not brought up again. Oftentimes we will not forget. Avoid nagging. Don't blame or criticize the other. Encourage them and edify them. Oftentimes our words can be very sharp. Right? Verbal attacks becomes verbal attacks. Criticisms, blames. Right? And that causes the relationship to be very, very strained. So the way we would communicate is important. Right? When we are fast to lay blame, to criticize, the way we speak, it tend not to build up, but tend to pull down. Okay. Try to understand the other person's opinion. Make allowances for differences. Be concerned about their interest. Recently, we were in our devotions. We were looking at, why Jesus taught that you, when someone slapped you on the right cheek, you know, you have to give your left cheek. Also, the Lord wants us to understand the reason for this, and the Lord wants us to see if God's Spirit is in you and fill you, then when you receive a slap, a slap is a most humiliating thing that you can do to a person. Right? So for someone to slap us, we must be thinking, and thinking again, why did he slap me? Why did he want to slap me? Is there something that I have done that caused him so much hurt that he wants to slap me? Right. And if there's anything I can do, you know, to appease that, right. Is there something wrong that I've done that caused the person to, you know, have so much anger and hatred toward me? And if there's something I can do about it, you know, I would like to do something. The marriage creed. Comfort each other. Provide a refuge and sanctuary for one another from the chill winds of the world. You find that the home is to be that kind of a refuge. The world, you know, can be a stormy place, chilly place, cold place. But when you come to the home, it's so important that, you know, we build it to be a safe refuge and sanctuary for the members of the family. Your marriage is a place, right, from whence come peace, harmony, and warmth of soul and spirit. Listen to each other. This one we have mentioned. Hear not only words, but non-language of tone, mood, and expression. Oftentimes we, you know, just look at a person, we don't read a person. But you find that, you know, we have to be good readers of people. Readers of people means that you be able to try to understand what's going on in their lives. Listen to each other. Be willing to pray and ask God to help you to see. You see, the Lord Jesus is special, because He's God. And He's able to see into the deepest recesses of the heart. What's wrong? What's the ailment? What's troubling the person? And we who have the Spirit of God in us, the Spirit can reveal to us as we seek Him. Prayer. What's the problem? Be a friend and a partner. Friendship can be a peaceful island, separate and apart, in a world of turmoil and strife. Make sure that, you know, you cultivate a good friendship between husband and wife. Right? Spend time together. Spend time to have a meal together. Spend time to do something together. Do not allow your children, you know, your friend, your colleague, whoever it is, to take priority over that relationship that you have with your spouse. Be open to each other. Trust and reveal yourself to each other. There is that openness, that sharing. Cherish your union. Let no one separate that to your togetherness, as we said. Okay, we have mentioned at length why God created that togetherness, how it is modeled after Christ and the church. And that would be that relationship that we have in eternity. Give each other approval. Compliment each other. Encourages confidence in the other, while criticism would divide. That's why, you know, in our Bible study group, I always said that, you know, if we have nothing good to say, don't say anything. Right? If you have something good, something constructive, something edifying, then say it. So how we say it is a measure of our spirituality also, right? Hasten not to point out the other's mistakes. Oftentimes we are so quick, you know, to see the other person. That's why, you know, I was having lunch with a brother and he was telling me, you know, that day in worship, I look at the word Pharisee, you know. The Pharisee will see, he says, you know, and they would tell you what they see about you. That's the Pharisee. Then I said, I see. He had a point. Right? Oftentimes we do not look at ourselves, right? The beam that is in our own eyes. Right? We look at the mote that is in our brother's eye. That's what Jesus says. Right? So our religion, right, the teaching from God's word, is more a self-searching approach that God, you know, instilled in us. Right? It begins with the poverty of spirit. Right? God tells us that we have to realize who we are, you know, our depravity. And then there is that mourning for sin, our own sin. And that must be that change in us. Right? If we have that kind of an attitude, then you find that in a home, there would be a change in that relationship. Love one another. Love is your river of life, an eternal source of rewarding yourself. Right? Love, when you love others, you are willing to give in. You are willing to serve the other person. And although you know, it costs you something, but you know that you are doing something that would bring to you eternal reward. Tomorrow we are going to speak about the New Jerusalem. For those of you who will not be here, you'll find that, you know, the New Jerusalem has light, the light of God penetrating through. You know, it's made up of all sorts of precious stones. And what is that? It's a description of the character of God that is built in us. Light. So that light would just shine through, penetrate through, and reflect itself. Beautiful. Have you ever seen the refraction from a prism when light goes through? It's so pure. When it goes through, it reflects itself. And that would be the church in glory, when God would perfect us in our character. Perfect us. That in all attributes, we conform ourselves to the image of Christ. That's so wonderful, isn't it? And we said that this is our training ground. God puts us into families so that we may know how to interact one with another, right? In a smaller circle. And then God puts us in the church family, a bigger circle whereby His purpose would be accomplished, right? For the building up of that body, right? That would be presented as a chaste bride to the bridegroom when He comes. May the Lord help us to see this text from the Bible that we have mentioned, Ephesians 5:33, Ephesians 6:4, and consider them very carefully and pray that the Spirit of God will come and fill us, that we may be able to put this into practice. And then God will surely bring happy, harmonious, peaceful homes, citadels, refuge, where the family members can find that quiet sanctuary out of the turmoils of this world. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy mercy, Thy word, in showing us the areas of conflict that is in the home. May Thou be merciful to Thy people. Help us to be able to have homes where Thy peace rules and reigns, and Thy love is cherished, and Thy people, the members of the home, are nourished up, strengthened to be fit, useful instruments to the larger context of the church family and the larger society, whereby we are Thy witnesses. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.